Savior.
Thanks.
Please be seated. As we see the scene of Jesus coming into the Jordan, it is important for us to kind of set what was happening here. The preceding verses in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, are the verses about John the Baptist that we heard during our Advent season of everybody coming from Jerusalem to the Jordan to be baptized for their forgiveness of their sins. So crowds have been gathering and coming to this place to receive this baptism by this man. And then Jesus comes, and he comes from Galilee to John at the Jordan. And if you notice here what happens at the river, this river of repentance is what John has made it. He has turned it into this river where we repent from our sins, and people are confessing their sins as they go into these waters. Jesus comes and John recognizes him. And he says, "Oh no! I'm not the one to baptize you. You should be the one to baptize me." But Jesus reminds him and reminds us as he says to him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." What Jesus is reminding John is, right now you might have a preconceived notion what should really happen, but you must do this in this manner so that God's will be fulfilled. Then something very interesting happens. Did you pay attention to what happened after that? The scripture tells us, "And then he consented." John had to make affirmation. John had to consent. John had to do something other than baptize the Lord. John had to give his will to God's will. Because John's will was that Jesus baptize him. But God's will was that John baptize Jesus. And then we move into that place that we often talk about, that place where when he is baptized, he comes up out of the water and suddenly the heavens open and he saw the Spirit of the Lord descending like a dove and alighting on him. And Matthew tells us a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am pleased." We can assume that this was not a voice just heard by Jesus. In that moment, in that space, in that time, all who were there and who were receptive heard what was spoken from heaven. All those people from Jerusalem and all Judea who were gathered around that riverside. It's interesting that all those people who were gathered around that riverside, they didn't all become followers, did they? They didn't all give their consent that God's will be done and there in this life. They did not truly recognize what was happening at that day and that time. But John did. And others there also, some of those Pharisees and Sadducees and others in power, fully understood what was going on because often they studied their scriptures. Their scriptures were their way of life. So when they heard God's word spoken from heaven, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased," their ears would have hearkened back to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9, we hear the Lord God say this, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights." Can you hear that echo of, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased"? "I have put my Spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed will not break him, and a dimly burning wick will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. This one whom God anoints will be faithful. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth. Pay attention to that. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he establishes justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his teachings. Thus says the Lord, God, the Lord, who created the heavens and the earth, stretch them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and the spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, he says. I have called you in righteousness. I have called you in righteousness. This is the one who stepped out of the Jordan and whom the Spirit lit upon. He had called into righteousness. And that is why Jesus says to John, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. I have taken you by hand and kept you. And this is what he tells us. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. And then Isaiah says, see, the former things have come to pass, and the new things I now declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. The new thing that sprang forth for us and for all the people who were there was that acknowledgement of who Jesus was, where we had Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in one place. Think about this, brothers and sisters. The baptismal call. The people were coming to the Jordan. They were coming down to that river. They were coming for a purpose. Some were coming just to see what was going on. They wanted to know what was the latest thing. But many had a call, a baptismal call. And what happens when we step out of those waters, when we receive that sprinkling upon our head, when we say to the Lord, yes, here I am, something new happens to us as something new happened to the world. When the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were in one place. New creation, new life, new birth, new beings. We are born anew in our baptisms. But we are also called to do something about that, aren't we? In that newness of life, we are called to be who Isaiah talked about. That person who sees injustice and names it, claims it, and asks us to do something about it. That we are called to be that person who sees someone hungry and find a way to make sure they get fed. We are called to be that person who sees an animal on the street. And we have a couple not in worship this morning because that's what they saw. And they had to be there to make sure the animal was cared for. When we see the things that are wrong in the world as those who are called by Christ, who stand anew, who stand in a place of righteousness and faith, we are to be the witnesses to the world that the world isn't going to win. That God will remain faithful and God will renew the earth. Because at that moment in the Jordan River, with Jesus there, the Holy Spirit there, and God the Father there, all there experienced something new. Some became witnesses, and some became critics. And one of the things we've got to recognize as followers of Jesus Christ, when we want to proclaim that newness, when we want to proclaim that justice, when we want to proclaim that mercy, some will hear and be healed. Some will hear and choose to fight us. It is not an easy place. God has not called us to a life of comfort and joy in this new life. God has called us to be witnesses that the God who loves us enough to die for us, loves us enough to rise again, loves us enough to say that the world can be and will be different than it is. That we may have strayed, we may have sinned, but there is a place and a newness and a world filled with grace, mercy, and love. A world made new by the love of God. A newness that happens at the moment that we say yes to God. And why this morning will we reaffirm that baptismal vow? Because sometimes in our humanness, we forget. We forget whose we are. And we forget His great love for us. And we forget the power. We forget the power in the Holy Spirit that can move within us, transform our lives, transform our community, and transform the world. We believe that it is nothing but simply an hour of worship when God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is so much more that God cannot be contained. And God's will be done. But just like John, what do we have to do? We have to say yes. We have to be willing to accept that into our lives. We have to be willing to give up our will that God's will be done. And that's probably the hardest thing we have to do, isn't it? It sounds so simple to say yes. But we have to keep saying yes over and over again. But there is something that calls us to those baptismal waters. Calls us to that belief that something can be different. Calls us to be different in the world. And that is why we do things like worship this Lord, this great God of ours. That is why we do things like renew our baptismal vows. That is why we do things like meet at this table, that we receive this feast, that this is not just that place where we understand the one who paid the price for our sin, but it's also that place where we remember the wonder of God who loves us enough, and we can imagine that heavenly banquet where we will be gathered with those who love us and loved Him and have gone before. This is a time of joy in celebration, but it's a time to think about what our decision will be. Will we consent to God's will in our life? Just this morning, we had one more evidence of how the world has been turning closer and closer to a place of chaos. Or we heard it last night in Tucson, Arizona, where a congresswoman was doing the things we expect Congress people to do. She was on a street corner talking to those she serves, and she was shot. 6 were killed, and she's in critical condition. All because someone was angry. The world is a place that can be a mecca of prejudice and bigotry, according to the Tuscan, Arizona chief of police. But the world can also be a different place. A world can be a place of light and love. If what we do offers to the children that were here at our baptismal font a different way of being, a different way of loving. If we nurture and care and grow one another into the body of Christ, then the world will see a witness to the mercy of a loving God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.